I greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Appreciate that song and being here this morning, what we've heard. Maybe before we start out, we'll have a word of prayer. And I'm just going to, are there any prayer requests here for this morning? One I would have is Brother Ed. I talked to him yesterday. Maybe some of you have more updates, but I think he's still struggling pretty. Anyone have any updates on that? Are there any other requests?
So, Isabel had an injury yesterday. Pray for him, for her.
Okay. Okay, why don't we stand together for prayer? And Brother James, would you lead us in prayer? Oh, he's not. I'm sorry. Okay. Jared, do you mind doing it? Thank you. So, it's a few thoughts I have here this morning, or where I'm going with the opening here. There's some words I heard this past week. We had the privilege of spending the week in, most of the week in Colorado, and going through some shops in downtown Grand Lake there. And I heard these, one of the shopkeepers say to another one, he said those exact words, and it caught my attention, and I started listening. And he went on to say, he thinks the act, Civil Rights Act of 1964 was a mistake. He absolutely, those are his words. Those are Charlie's words. Absolutely, that's you can look it up. That's the words he said. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 was a mistake. So I did a little research on that, and that's true if you look it up. He said those words, and I'm not here to make any comment on whether those were said right or not, but he didn't give any context with those words. He said those words, but this young man that was repeating those words gave no context to the situation. Those were the words he said, and that was it. That settled it. That made everything else he said, that invalidated everything. In his mind, you can see it was clear. And it's a little bit different walking through a town out there than it is if you'd be walking through Seymour. It's just a different different group of people, a lot of different mindset. But that thought, that kept rolling through my mind, excuse me, on through the week. You know, the human tendency is to frame somebody by a few words that makes them fit into the mold that we believe them to be, or the way that we want them to be perceived by others. You know, there may be truth in it. It may be true. They may be guilty. It may be a partial truth without context. We may feel like it must be true because that's really how we feel about that person. We don't, you know, we have the confidence in the individual that shared it. Or we're looking for proof against the accused. You know, finger pointing doesn't usually get us very far before the pointer is turned back on us. You know, sometimes those words, I heard it with my very own ears. This is the exact words that were spoken. You know, those words forcefully spoken without context can be very misleading. I'd like to look at a familiar story this morning and pull some from it. A true story in John chapter 8, if you want to turn there. I'm going to read the first 11 verses. It's a story where Jesus was put on the spot, if there was such a thing. The context here, Jesus had spent the night on the Mount of Olives, and he had come back to the temple. Chapter 8, verse 1, John chapter 8, verse 1. And Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? And they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lift up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lift up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So we have a story here of a woman. We don't know her name. We don't know her age. We don't know where she's from. We also have a group of men here that were on a mission. And it's obvious, there's a couple obvious things. The woman was in the wrong. She was caught. There was no arguing. These men had the audacity to bring this woman into the midst of this crowd that Jesus was speaking to disrupt this meeting, to humiliate somebody's daughter. Jesus had just come back from a night on the Mount of Olives. The throng was back for more of his wonderful words. Of these wonderful words from this teacher. So here she is. We can only imagine how she might have felt at the hands of these moral rulers, unable to defend herself. She was guilty. All the finer influences of her womanhood were submerged under the influence of their hard, cold legalism. What was her attitude? Sullen, defiant, despairing. All eyes tuned in, and ears listening. You could have heard a pin drop. I think so, anyway. What will Jesus do? What will he have to say? He doesn't act like he even heard these men. He just bends over and he starts writing with his finger on the ground. You know, as I thought about that, you know, he could have just as easily had his finger over there writing on the wall, up on high where everybody could read it. Then we might know today what he wrote. But we don't know. He was bent over, writing on the ground. We see his posture there. I think we see it as one of humility. The sinless Lamb of God, bent over, writing on the ground. The context here, the Mosaic law, they were right. She should have been stoned. That was what she had coming. The Roman law, they could no longer do this. They weren't allowed to do this. The Romans forbid them to do that. There was a little later on, they got out of hand and stoned Stephen against that, but what's Jesus going to do? Is he going to stick by the Mosaic law? Is he going to defy the Roman law? He's going to be in trouble either way. Do you know when he stood up, he didn't mention either of those laws. Instead, he brought out an eternal principle. If we read verse 7, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Freedom from sin in nature, as well as experience, is what that is what he was telling them. He that is without sin. Freedom from sin in nature, as well as an experience. If according to Moses, this woman should die by stoning, let the sinless cast the first stone. You know, the presence of Christ had a way of bringing these men face to face with reality. They were guilty. They knew it. You know, maybe the look on this woman's face was changing from defiance to wonder. Maybe they thought of those words from the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whoso looketh hath committed adultery already in their heart. One by one, eldest to youngest, they had rank. They were standing in order. Eldest to youngest, they walked out. Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. So that tells us the people were still all there. Sorry. The throng was still all there. She was standing in the midst. It says they were still alone in the midst. And I can only imagine this throng was hardly daring to breathe. What was going to happen next? Here we have Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, and the adulterous woman. Jesus says in verse 10, he said, woman, where are those thine accusers? You know, Jesus used that word on several occasions, woman, always with respect and tenderness. He used it to his mother in Cana there of Galilee. He used that to the woman of Samaria. He used that word to his mother while he was on the cross. And we have record of him using it to Mary on the resurrection morning. Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And we see Jesus answer. And I don't believe Jesus was in any way lowering the moral standard. Excuse me. We have the verse in Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He told her, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more. You know, we don't have any more record of this woman. We don't know what happened from that day forth, but I believe that we can have the confidence that she went out empowered, changed, and with a whole different look in life. She had a reason to live. She was forgiven. And some would say that, you know, this Christ hadn't finished the work on Calvary yet. But, you know, if we look back, it was from the foundation of the world. I believe he had the power to do that right here. And And some of the thoughts that came to me is, you know, as she went out looking forward, you know, too many times maybe we go out looking back, looking in the rearview mirror. Try driving that way. We were following a man last night on 44 that seemed like that might have been what he was doing, because it wasn't very good. It was pretty scary. Maybe nowadays people would drive, maybe we'd say driving with their backup camera instead of looking out the front. You know, the rearview mirror is there for a reason. The backup camera is there for a reason. They're wonderful things to be sure we don't back over somebody that we don't want to, and we shouldn't want to back over anybody, actually. But it's good to know, to be aware of our surroundings, and to know. But if that's what we're trying to drive by, we're going to miss the mark. We've got the whole wide open, clean windshield, hopefully, to look out of, and that's where we should be going. We should be going forwards. And I think, you know, when we just challenge, I'd like to leave with us, you know, what is our perspective? What is our perception versus reality? You know, Jesus, these men were right. This woman was in the wrong. That was all true. It's absolutely true. And you know what that man said in that little store? That was true. I looked it up. If the internet's right, that is what, those are the words that Charlie said. Those are exact words. And I've heard these same words myself. I've heard it said. You know, I heard these exact words. This is the exact words he used. But I don't believe the context was correct. I don't believe they were given in the correct context. Let's be careful. Let's not fall in the same place as these men did. They had truth. They knew truth, and they brought it. There was no lie in what they were saying. It was truth. But their perspective was wrong. They weren't seeing themselves. Christ is the one that brought light into their own lives. And let's be sure to let Christ bring light into our own lives, and to be open to what he has for us, and to be careful how we judge, how we place other people. And I'm not here to, what I brought up there about Charlie, I'm not here to make a comment on that, I mean to promote anything there, but I do believe that young man didn't listen to the whole story. He didn't listen to his views on racism and equality. Is it all right? I don't know. I'm not here to say that. But let's be careful. Let's how we judge others. Let's stand together for prayer.